The reviver of deen, the reviver of deen, the reviver of deen, the reviver of
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our program, The Reviver of Deen. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this today's program, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, we've got our guests, so I'm going to introduce them later to you. But inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to be talking about another seerah aspect of the beloved Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And we're going to be talking about how he controlled his nafs and how he used to save himself from his nafs and the shaitan, and what lessons we as his followers, as his murids, can take from his life, and inshallah we'll try to adopt that in our life as well. Before we go into the topic and everything, inshallah azawajal, we have Hafiz Nadeem in the studio as well, mashallah azawajal, Hafsa wa Umida khair wa afiyat, and we're going to listen to a kalam and a beautiful inshallah tilawat of the Quran inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Awalaysalladhi khalaqas السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء ترجعون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد اللهم صل على وصحبه وبارك اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی دونوں عالم کا دولہ ہمارا نبی اللہم صل علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد اللہم صل علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد سوچتا ہوں جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نام مصطفیٰ کی قسم نام مصطفیٰ کی قسم روشنی ہوگی تم بھی نام لو ان کا گھر میں روشنی ہوگی اور دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانا دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانا ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی ان کی یاد میں شاید سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا عجب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم انشاءاللہ عزوجل we're going to talk about our topic we got Tawfiq bhai in the studio but inshallah azawajal in a few minutes time we'll go to Tawfiq bhai today's topic I just want to read this very beautiful story that has been mentioned in one of the booklets of Amir Ahle Sunnat and this booklet is called Jinn Resembling Snake once Ghousi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali was busy delivering a speech in an ijtima at his madrasa when a big snake fell onto him from the ceiling. The attendees got into a panic and stampede, but Ghousi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali did not even move from his place. The snake wrapped itself around his blessed body under his clothes. The snake then came out of his collar and wrapped itself around his blessed neck. But our Murshid, the spiritual king of Baghdad, His Honor, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, neither became frightened nor discontinued his speech. The snake then jumped onto the ground, stood on its tail, uttered something and went away. After the snake disappeared, people gathered around Sayyidina Ghousi Azam Rahmatullah Ali and asked as to what it said to him. He Rahmatullah Ali replied that the snake said that it had tested many awliya of Allah but had not found anyone as steadfast as him. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. You know, so these were the attacks that Sayyidina Ghousi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala ali was getting from the shaitan, trying to stop him from the ibadat that he was doing. And this is what our topic is today, how we can fight the shaitan. And remember, the shaitan will come in many forms. Like he came in the form of a snake, the shaitan can come in the form of a human as well. Yeah, and they will stop you from doing good things as well. MashaAllah, Tawfiq bhai, if you want to start off with today's topic, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hafsab, you chose a very important topic. Something that we shouldn't just listen to, but we need to reflect and make sure we apply the principles in our day.
Subhanallah.
In life, inshallah. And there's no doubt, one of the things that marked the legacy of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is the way he tackled and overcame the traps and the tricks of shaitan. And that was just one example that you gave. There's many examples in his life.
Yeah?
And not just like normal level, but there were some that were very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the level that which can affect the iman,
Allah
the faith of an individual. In the same book that you mentioned, the jinn resembling a snake, in that book, Amir Ahle Sunnat mentions another incident which gives a glimpse how difficult it is for the pious when it comes to tackling with shaitan. It's not easy. You know, sometimes we feel someone is a namazi, someone is pious, he recites the glorious Quran. Now it's going to become easy for him. It doesn't work like that. The principle here is the more a person is pious, the more he is in his taqwa, in his piety, the more tests and trials he will have.
Sure.
And this example I'm going to mention to you now is very shocking. You know, for us, many of us who have heard this incident, you think, hey, how did that happen? Yeah. Once Sayyidina Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once I was in a jungle where I stayed there for many days.
Allahu Akbar.
And not just stayed there, you know, like a picnic, the way people do these days, but he was there for many days, and during that period he was in the jungle, he says that I was there without eating and drinking.
Allahu Akbar.
And it came to a level that he became so thirsty. No, he was looking for a drop of water. And a drop of water for that type of person means a lot.
Bishakam, yeah? It means life to them.
And what happened? It means the life for that person. Yeah. Yeah? What happened? Suddenly, Sayyidina Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that above my head, a cloud appeared. From which raindrops started falling, which I drank. So that shows how thirsty Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. Then he says that a bright face then appeared in that cloud. It had a lot of noor, brightness in it. I heard a voice saying, "O Abdul Qadir, I am your creator, and I have made all haram things halal for you."
Allah, Allah.
Hearing those words, you know, a person, a noble person, will think, "Hey, what happened here?"
Bilkul.
You know, but Huzur Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man of intellect.
Bishop.
He is a Sufi master.
Subhan,
he is the Sultan of the Awliya, the great Wali.
Subhan,
and
Allah.
He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, said, I immediately recited, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," turning the brightness of the cloud into smoke.
Allahu Akbar.
Then I heard a voice saying, "O Abdul Qadir, before this I led 70 saints, 70 Awliya of Allah astray. I made them gumrah, but your knowledge has saved you."
Allah.
Sayyidina Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I replied, "O the cursed one, it is not my knowledge, it is the mercy of Allah, the favor of Allah that has saved you."
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That shows that regardless of how pious an individual is, shaitan will come and he will attack you. And not just a noble level, he will do it in such a way that he will make you feel like you're satisfied in your absence.
You know, sometimes in a person's life, you know, people start to think, you know, when you get these ideas that, you know, I'm better than this person, I'm better. These are just minute little things that the shaitan's playing about with your mind. The bigger idea is what, when he came to Ghawse Paak, you mentioned that was a time where he could have been trapped into the shaitan and lost his iman.
The point for us to take away today is that, you know, at that moment, shaitan said that I made over 70 awliya astray from this action. So I've come like this into the pious people and I caught them in my traps. That is the scary part.
You know, if
it's so difficult for the pious, where do we stand?
Where do we stand?
In fact, we have no legs to stand.
Bishop.
That's how difficult it is for us.
Mm.
We depend on the guidance and the hand of these pious people.
You know, I've mentioned this before as well. You know, a person who went to a graveyard and on the gravestone it said, not on the gravestone, but there was a little placard, and it said on that how is the world going to run after us? You know, how is the world going to, maybe people are, even now people think, if I go from here, if I leave this job, if I don't do this, nothing will happen. And again, that is just, you know, we're just fooling ourselves. Allah Ta'ala is the one who's running the affairs of the world. This world will continue as it's been continued for thousands of years. You die, nothing will happen. But the shaitan whispers this in a person's mind. You know, you're the best Naat Khan, you're the best Qari, you're the best Muballigh. You know, if you go away, how are things going to work? But that doesn't have to be the same.
So, you know, that statement when shaitan said that I have made all haram things halal for you.
Yeah.
Scholars have mentioned that Huzur Ghawse Paak radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought in his mind that if you look at the best of the creation, our beloved Prophet, the last and final messenger, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a mukallaf.
Yeah, sure.
He was bound to worship. He was duty bound until the last breath to worship Allah Ta'ala.
Yeah, sure.
If this is the maqam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then where does the rest of you, land?
Subhanallah.
Yeah, as humans, as Muslims, we have to understand, we have to follow the commands and the principles of Islam every moment of our life until the last breath. In fact, once the final breath has stopped, all the way to the last moment of our life.
And
that is a very important message we have to understand, because Huzur Ghawse Paak radiallahu anhu understood that principle. On that basis, He said to Shaitan, he recited, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So we also learn from this incident that whenever you have whisper of Shaitan, what do you say? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, whenever you're in a situation where you think that the Shaitan is getting heavy upon you, like for example, you'll be sat at home and you know the TV is there, you got your so-called smartphone in your hand, and then what happens is you're not doing anything good or anything bad. But now what happens is the Shaitan starts to whisper you, you know, look at, you know, so-and-so social media website. There's loads of videos on there. You can watch them as well. So that's the Shaitan playing about with your mind. Recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim at that time. Allah will protect you, inshallah.
We live in very challenging times. There are many people out there who are struggling with their faith.
Jee.
They are questioning their iman. Because they haven't studied the principles of Islam, the aqaid of Islam,
yeah.
They don't understand and they don't have the right company around them, they don't sit with scholars. So what happens due to their the amount of time they spend on social media, on wrong platforms, what happens, they start doubting their own iman.
Yeah,
and it's very important, whenever you have such doubts, yeah, recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and turn towards scholars. So don't wait, don't let these doubts build on to your mind. It's very scary.
Sometimes, you know, people ask this question and they are scared that, you know, I keep on having these doubts and these whispers in my mind. And the ulama kiram, they say that, you know, these whispers and these are just in your mind. They don't come in onto your tongue. That just shows you how strong your iman is as well. So there's no need to be panicking about it, that why am I getting these whispers. Just keep reciting, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and then occupy yourself.
Some people say that, can you tell me something to read, that all these whispers can go away. But the principle is, these whispers will not go away.
Yeah.
They're with us, these thoughts will come.
Until you're alive, they're going to get
them. They're with you, they're your life partner, you can say. They're going to be with you, but you really just need to know how to answer them, how to ignore them, how to tackle them. Them things are the key.
You know, that's a very beautiful hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. And it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are two impulses in the soul. One from an angel which called towards you goodness, and one is from the shaitan that called you towards evil.
So you mentioned a very important part here, because our topic is about shaitan.
Yeah.
Shaitan, you know, there are many shayateen around, and there are certain shaitan, because shaitan in the Quran, it is said very clearly that shaitan is your open enemy. He doesn't like humans. Yeah, he just doesn't like humans. He wants destruction for the humans. Not just in this world, he wants the destruction for these humans for the akhirah. He wants the ultimate destruction for the humans. That's his goal, that's his jealousy, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, you mentioned the muhafiz. There are angels, the safeguarding angels, that are with each person.
Gee.
Now, the scholars mentioned that if these angels were not there, Shaitan has so much hatred for the humans that he will rip apart the person.
Yeah,
they will cause him a lot of physical and spiritual harm on the individuals. But it is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that He has appointed angels as safeguard for each person as well.
Our topic for today is the whispers of the shaitan and the nafs. How we can fight them, how Huzur Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi fought them, and what we can learn from them.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Afsab, I think before we can appreciate what the issue is, we need to know the background. Sometimes what we try to do, often every one of us, we want to kind of fight this thing called the nafs, and we want to fight the shaitan. But it's very important to recognize who the enemy is. Now, if I said to you, you're going to have to go into a fight, and there's somebody stood at the bottom of the stairs, just as an example, you said, yeah, fine, I'll go and I'll see what I can do. I'm quite a strong lad. Whatever told you that person has got a knife, you would try and then go down with a means of protection. Say you had something, a hammer or some other weapons or anything else. The least you'd want to know is, who is the person I'm fighting? Who's my enemy? Now, when it comes to worldly difficulties and worldly enemies, we actually, even when we're going to do a business deal, try and find as much as we can about the person we're dealing with, to understand his psychology so that we can deal with him. Unfortunately, and this again is reciprocal, because it's the wuswasa of the shaitan, but when it comes to the nafs and the shaitan, very few of us have any idea of what the shaitan is, what he does, what the nafs is, what it does, how they incite, what tactics they use, what weapons they have at their disposal. All of this is crucial to your fight. Now, let's put it into context. Allah Azza wa Jal created us. We were created in Alumra Arwah. We were sent to this world. We were given this body. And then we were given intellect. And then the test was that who is going to obey the nafs and the shaitan? And who is going to obey the creator? That was in essence it. This was the purpose of our existence. What we've done is very beautifully explained by a hadith mubarakah Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi nakal karte, you know, he writes, he says that the son of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, he became ill, and for several days he couldn't eat anything, and his servant was saying, you know, Hazrat, what do you want to eat? You know, let me know whatever you want and I'll get it for you. And so one day Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala said, okay, I'd like to eat fish. So this servant, he goes into the bazaar of Madinatul Munawwara and he searches, but he can't find fish. So a day goes by, the next day he goes again and he searches and he can't find fish. The third day he goes, and eventually he manages to find some fish. He pays 1.5 dirhams or dinars for it. He brings it back, he cooks it, puts it in front of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who hasn't eaten for many days. He's ill, he's not well. And as soon as he breaks and is about to eat the fish, there's a knock at the door.
Allah.
And a poor man says, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, give me something. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, okay, take this and go give it to him.
Oh God.
Now the servant is thinking, hang on a minute, I've worked 3 days for this. You know, I've gone to all extents to try and get this fish. And my master hasn't eaten for many days. He's ill as well. But because that was the order, he picks up the fish and he goes and gives it to this beggar. Now, the person leaves and the servant has a thought. He said, often what happens is people would beg and they may not eat what they get, but they would go and sell it in the marketplace to get the money. So he then follows this beggar. He follows this beggar and he stops and he says, what do you intend to do with that fish? Are you going to eat it or are you going to sell it? Because if you're going to sell it, I'll buy it off you for 2 dirhams. I paid 1.5 for it. I'll actually pay you 2 and I'll take it back off you. So he says, yeah, that's fine by me. I mean, you know, he's already getting it for nothing. So he says, fine. So he takes the fish. He gives him the 2 dirhams. He takes the fish and goes and presents it, saying, Hazrat, look, you know, the fish is back here. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, okay, how is this possible? You know, we've given this fish away. And he says, Hazrat, what I did is I knew that sometimes these beggars go and sell this. So I asked him, are you going to sell it? And he said, he will sell it. So I gave him 2 dirhams. I paid 1.5 last time. I've given him 2. I brought it back for you. So he's happy as well.
Allah.
And I brought it back to your court. Now, Allah, that is an amazing story. But what happens next is truly magnificent. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala says, no, have you not read the glorious Quran? Do you not know what the Quran says? He says, what? He says, the Quran says, Surah Al Imran, verse 92, you can never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's cause the thing you love.
Allah.
And Allah is aware of whatever you spend.
Allah.
He said, we've given this in the way of Allah. Why? Because I like the fish. So I wanted to give it. And he said, you know, you are my servant. You want to bring coolness to me. You want my khushi. You want my happiness. Actually, I was more happy that that beggar had this fish than I was. Because in my mind, and this is the connection to today, he said, my nafs wanted this fish. Tomorrow it will demand something else, and the next day it will demand something else. But for once, because I had given what I wanted in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, I was actually happy. So if you really want my happiness, take this fish, give him the 2 dirhams or dinars you've given him, and give him the fish. That will make me happy.
Subhanallah.
Here, it's very, very important to realize what we're being taught. What we're being taught is this, that this nafs can mislead. Now today what we have, Hafizab, is this. Unfortunately, because of the upbringing that we've had in a kind of a very westernized and very materialistic society that we live in, and not just in Europe, I'd say everywhere in the world, it's very materialistic. It's what can I gain? What can I get? How can I fulfill my desires of my nafs? And so you get these people who will stand on street corners. I mean, basically, their deen is nothing to them. Mm. So, that, you know, they'll claim that, Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. But a girl texts them and they forget their parents. You know, there's so many children who've turned around to their parents and said, you spent 20 years looking after me, but I found somebody I want to marry now. Bye-bye. What is that? That is just pure obedience of the nafs. There are people, Tawfiq Bhai, who, you know, Allah Azzawajal has fed for 20, 30 years, but they get the opportunity to earn an extra £10 by lying. And they give up the obedience of Allah Azzawajal to follow the nafs and the shaitan. There are people who get business opportunities to defraud, and they forget Allah Azzawajal, and they listen to the nafs and the shaitan. Now these enemies, the nafs and the shaitan, were designed, Allah Azzawajal, you know, has put them with you to test you. Now we were supposed to, the Muslim, you know, the true mu'min, he was supposed to be there, and all these desires were outside, and he was a constant battle to stop them getting in and stop them interfering with his piety, his taqwa, his obedience in the court of Allah Azzawajal, his ghulami, his servitude of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All these things he was there to protect. What did he do? He put all these to one side and he said, the only thing that matters to me, the only thing, is my desire. If my desire says this, I've got to fulfill it. Now that was what the shaitan wanted. And this is where the walis of Allah Azzawajal, specifically Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, they sacrificed, their desires didn't matter, they had no desires. You know, they killed all their inner desires. For the moment, for the Muslim, what was the essence of his creation? It was to control this nafs and say, I am obedient to Allah Azzawajal. Oh nafs, you are obedient to Allah Azzawajal. My desires are obedient to Allah Azzawajal. And the shaitan is an enemy. As the Quran says, Adubbun Mubin, he's an open enemy. And don't follow the open enemy.
The thing is, that those people who do follow their nafs and their desires, they're never satisfied. But you know, if you look at Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi, because we're talking about him, you know, he did not follow his nafs and his desires. But yeah, look at his life, you know, how pure and how simple his life and how happy he was in his life. You know, nowadays, you know, you get people working from one job to the other, hey, we got a halmi mazid, and they're never satisfied with it.
This nafs, they say, yeah, this nafs, this ego and this shaitan, it can take you to places horrific. And that's where we're going. You know, you've got these people who, because of their desires, they forget their parents, they forget their deen, just because of texting women on the phones or writing emails. That's it. That's the, you know, the be it of their life. Is that the purpose of your existence?
Someone said a very beautiful thing that, you know, even if it's the girl or the boy, if they leave their parents just to go and marry someone else, you know, they say that, if they cannot be loyal to their parents who brought them up for so many years, how can they be loyal to that person?
There's a famous story that's narrated, Hafsab, just on that point, that there was a very good-looking, pious king, and he was basically taking over riyasat states around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd conquered many states, and he got to one state, and the king of the time had a very, very secure, fortified castle. Right? And they couldn't penetrate this castle. So for days they were outside and they were basically, there was a standoff, right? Now, one day, this king, and he was a very beautiful king as well, they say, the riot says, and he was there outside with his horsemen, and the king's daughter was on the roof of the house. She saw him, and to use the quotations, thought she fell in love. So she comes out to him. And she says, if you promise to marry me, then I will show you a way to get into the castle and defeat my father. So he then, she says, I promise to marry you. And she was thinking, well, he's taken over all of these lands. This is the last one, that state left. Mm. So I'm going to be the princess. I'm going to have a life of luxury. So she says, look, come through this tunnel, go in through there, and you can conquer this. They go in, and they kill the father, they kill the army, and they take over. So, fulfilling his promise, he says, you know, fine, he marries her. The first night, she lies down on the bed, and she says, there's something wrong with this bed. He says, what? He says, I don't know. So, she lifts over the chadar, and there's some bits of pieces there that are making it uncomfortable. So, you know, if you have a chadar, and on the bed, there's little bits of dust or whatever it is. And she says, that was what was making me uncomfortable, because my father had kept me like a princess. He used to personally come and check my bed to make sure it was smooth and everything was perfect.
Yeah.
And my father used to make sure that everything that I desired, I got. And so this is why I'm very sensitive. So even though there's a few pieces of dust on this, I couldn't get comfortable. The Badshah, the king, said, look, this is unbelievable. She said, what? He said, your father was so loving and caring, yet you betrayed him. Who am I? How are you going to be loyal to me? He called his servants and said, take her out, tie her to horses and drag her apart. Because this woman is not faithful to her father, who for 20 years took care of every desire. And today the nafs, this is the key to it, the nafs and the shaitan have taken her to such a state that she's betrayed her own father. Allah, how can she do justice to me? And you know, that sounds like a very powerful story. But today, what are our youngsters doing? And I appeal to those youngsters. What are they doing? You know, for these women, yeah, they swear at their own parents. For the sake of these girlfriends, na'uzubillah min zalik, they say, oh, what does the old man know? What does the old woman know? This is the old man and the old woman who, when you couldn't sleep at night, yeah, they used to stay awake all night. One stood at your head and one stood at your feet. This is the same parents who sacrificed everything they had. You know, your mother stayed away. And yet today, when you get to that age, your life evolves around your love now and your mates and your, knows to be like girlfriends and everything else. And then you look down upon them. And then when the problems come, they say, where does it come from?
You know, a lot of the time, Harumbe, you know, there's people, you know, they've been unfaithful to their parents. They've taken them, you know, and to the lengths where they've made them cry. They made them do so many things. And yet, you know, when they get, you know, mistreated from their new found love or something, they'll come back to their parents again.
Hafsab, if you look at the words of what Harumbe said there, you know, going against your nafs, this is a trait of the pious people. They were very disciplined. They took this as a challenge of their life. There's many examples you'll find, you know, in different awliya Allah in their lives, the how they were consistently battling with their nafs, going against their desires, and that was something that made them distinctive from compared to the rest of the people. And coming back to Huzur Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is said that he spent a lot of time in the jungles. During that period in particular, he spent many nights in wakefulness, in ibadat, reciting the Quran, reading the nawafil. And it says that there was a time that, you know, as a human, you get tired, don't you? There's like a limit to everything, they say.
Animals get tired as well.
Everyone gets tired, yeah.
Animals as well. No, you said as humans, we get tired, right? They get tired as well.
Well, at the moment, I'm talking to humans, so I thought I'd make it easy for them to understand. So, as humans, we get tired. So what happened? A time came that there was times that when Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt sleepy, drowsy, sleepy. So how did he tackle that? He says that Huzur Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should tie rope around him and hang it with a hook on the ceiling or somewhere. And so he used to do ibadat, and if he felt, you know, dizzy or, you know, try to fall on one side, this rope will bring him back. He'll give him a shake up and they will wake him up.
Another narration says that he would stand on one leg and start to recite the Quran.
That was mentioned as well. This shows that how serious Huzur Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu was when he was challenging his own nafs.
MashaAllah.
For us, you know, this is like an area we don't even think about in our life. So we go with the flow of our desires, with our wishes. We have a wish list. We want this, we want this, we want this. We try to act upon those things. You know, whatever, if it's within our ability, you know, we want all of them things. But it was the opposite with the pious people. If you wanted this thing, they'll say, no, I'll give this to someone else.
Mashallah. And then Hafsa, there's levels.
We're going to listen to Harun Bhai as well, but I want Hafsa to get a kalam ready.
There are levels of the nafs. Some of us, we're that weak, that as soon as the shaitan and the nafs whispers, off we go. And those are the unfortunate people who don't care about namaz, who don't care about the Quran, who don't care about anything. But then there are those who do pray, do read namaz, do kind of try and do the good deeds. But again, they are slaves to the nafs. And what the awliya, Allah's life teaches us is that the more you oppose your nafs, the stronger you actually become, the more barakats you get, the more blessings you get, and the more mercies of Allah Ta'ala you get. I remember a very distinct waqia, Hafsa, which Hazrat Shahi Naqshband was ill. And the people came to him and they said to him, look, there is a healer And he knows how to deal with this problem. But the problem is, he's a non-Muslim. He's an idol. He worships idols. But he's got the power and he can heal. So the great Sheikh said, no, I'm not going to such a person. And when he became unconscious through illness, his murid picked him up, took him there. And this person did whatever he did and he healed him. So when he came around, this great wali of Allah said, look, where did you get this power from? This is a very important lesson, because we forget, we think we're on a spiritual journey and we're entertaining the nafs. But to get rid of the nafs and to build your spiritual levels is a whole different ballgame. So what he says is, how did you build these powers? He said, well, since a child, I've been opposing my nafs.
Subhanallah.
So if my nafs tells me to drink cold water, I drink hot. If my nafs tells me to sit down, I'd stand up. And all my life, I've been practicing this technique. And the more I've practiced it, the more powerful I've become. To the extent now that I oppose everything my nafs says. Everything. And I've become the master of it, and therefore I've got this power to heal. So the great, wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, being an amazing, intellect, yeah? He says, tell me this. Does your nafs actually allow you to accept Islam? Is your nafs telling you to accept Islam? He goes, no way. He's telling me not to go anywhere near Islam. He's telling me to keep away from it. He said, so then, according to your theory then, you should be accepting Islam.
Allah.
He said, yes, you're right. And he accepted Islam and became
Muslim.
This is a wali of Allah. So there's a great lesson in there for us, because the more we oppose our nafs, the stronger we become, both in this world and then, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the great in the hereafter.
MashaAllah, we're going to listen to a beautiful manqabat of Asad, inshaAllah.
Imdad kun, imdad kun, imdad kun, imdad kun, az bande gham azad kun, imdad kun, imdad kun, az bande gham azad kun, dar din o duniya shaad kun, dar din o duniya shaad kun. Duniya wasi azam dastagi imdad kun tere haath mein diya hai tere haath mein diya hai tere imdad kun az bande gham azad kun dar din o duniya shaad kun dar din o duniya shaad kun ya wasi azam dastagir imdad kun nikala hai pehle to do dar din o duniya shaad kun dar din o duniya امداد کن امداد کن قسم ہے کہ مشکل کو مشکل پایا قسم ہے کہ مشکل کو مشکل پایا قسم ہے کہ مشکل کو مشکل پایا کہا جس وقت ہم نے یا غوثِ اعظم امداد کن امداد کن کہیں کس جا کے حسن اپنے دل کی کہیں کس جا کے حسن اپنے دل کی کہیں کس جا کے حسن اپنے امداد کن امداد کن از بندِ غم آزاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن در دین و دنیا شاد کن یا غوثِ اعظم دستگیر امداد کن امداد کن
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الحمد للہ عز و جل. We were talking about the nafs and the ego. I just want to finish on this last. Allah Ta'ala mentions inside the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Fajr, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. It will be said to the pious, O satisfied soul, Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return towards your Lord in the state that you are pleased with Him and He is pleased with you. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Then enter the ranks of my chosen bondsmen. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. And enter my paradise. Harun Bhai, any last words on this topic we were discussing today?
Hafsab, what we need to do is recognize the purpose of our creation. We weren't created to earn money. We weren't created to text people. We weren't created to scour Facebook and browse Facebook and social media. Allah Azza wa Jal created us for His obedience. It's a very short life. Now, if you put it into context, look at what you've done in the last 12 months, for example. What have I done to please my Creator? And you know they said, because we spend our lives chasing our nafs. You know, whether it's the food we eat, whether it's the clothes we wear, the people we associate with, everything evolves around me pleasing my nafs. And very little of it relates to me pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's shift that focus, especially to the youngsters who are watching us. You know, life is very short, Hafsab. Before you know it, it'll go by. You fulfill the desires of your nafs as much as you can. Your nafs will never be satisfied. You know, there's the beautiful hadith in Waqa, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the son of Adam is, if he has two valleys of gold, he will still desire a third one. This is the unfortunate, and only the hadith in Mubarakah goes on that only mitti, you know, soil can fill his stomach. Yeah. You know what that means? That is the soil of the grave, the Almighty Quran writes. You know, Al-Hakum Al-Takasur Hatta Zurtumul Maqabir. You know, you're so lost in the love of the world that you got to your grave, and yet then it comes back to what you were saying. I want more, I want more, I want more. Let's not do that. Let's look at who we are and where we're going. May Allah give us the ability to differentiate between our thoughts and the shaitani waswasas. But that's only come through knowledge. And knowledge, there's beautiful fruit. I think there was a beautiful call of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, which I'll finish him, because it really sums up things. What the great Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says is, amongst people, the one who has more knowledge fears Allah Azza wa Jal more, worships Allah Azza wa Jal more, and advises the people of Allah Almighty more.
Subhanallah. Jee Tawfiq Bhai, mashallah. Last closing word.
Hafsab, there's no doubt shaitan is very cunning. For us, what we need to do is, we need to be aware of his attacks. We need to be very, don't just rely on our own wisdom, intellect, but we have to learn about the attacks, and then we need to learn how to counter them. So I'm just going to list some of the major attacks of shaitan, and then I'm just going to mention these titles, But these are things that we need to look into them each in depth, understand them, how are they the traps of shaitan, and how we need to tackle them, how we can get them removed from our life. So what are them? The number one is hasad, jealousy. Number two, bukhl, being stingy. Nasha, which is intoxication. Some have also written anger is also from the attacks of shaitan. And one of the biggest attack of shaitan is takabbur. Yeah, having pride. It's me. That's it. I'm too big, then everyone else is smaller. Thinking too much of yourself. Self-satisfaction. Lack of sincerity. And doing actions to please others. Bad suspicion. Thinking bad about other people. These are some major traps of shaitan. And obviously we need a cure for them as well.
MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, how Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala he controlled his nafs and his ego and his desires. And look at the rank that Allah ta'ala gave him today. You know, with nearly 1,000 years later, we're discussing about his beautiful life. Think to yourself, 100 years later after you passed away, is anyone going to talk about you in the same way? You know, that's a thing we need to, he's left a legacy behind. And you know, many ulama-i kiram have passed away from this world. They've left legacies behind. We need to leave something behind for our children, for our grandchildren, for them to be talking about us in good ways. Inshallah, Azawajal, Allah Ta'ala, safeguard our iman and save us from the treachery of the shaitan.
Like I mentioned last time as well, there are all over the world, there are universities who have specific departments dedicated to the works of Sayyidi Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
You know, the ulama-i kiram, they find this, the books of Sayyidi Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu ta'ala very spiritually enlightening. But the non-Muslims as well, this surprises you, but places like Oxford and Cambridge have departments dedicated to Sayyidi Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu ta'ala. And this is amazing. And you know, one of the, you know, the walis of Allah azza wa jalla are amazing. The topic we were discussing today, and what I was going to say here, I didn't build a connection to. Wallahi, I just took it out, and this is the next one I was going to do. But as I was reading through it, I thought, oh my God, there's a connection here. And so if you listen to this very carefully, actually, it's 100% focused on exactly what we've discussed there. And that's just a coincidence.
MashaAllah.
Or a saintly miracle of Sayyidi Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu
ta'ala. SubhanAllah, bishuk.
He, may Allah be pleased with him, said, when you are dead to the creation, it will be said to you, may Allah have mercy upon you. Allah will make you die out of the desires of the flesh. And when you die out of the desires of the flesh, it will be said to you, may Allah have mercy upon you. Then He will give you death in your will and in your desires. And when you are dead in your will and your desires, it will be said to you, may Allah have mercy upon you. And He will restore you to a new life. Then you will be given a life after which there is no death. You will be enriched with wealth after which there is no poverty. You will be awarded a gift after which there will be no obstruction. You will be made happy with happiness after which there is no sorrow or misery. And you will be blessed with blessings after which there will be no adversity. And you will be equipped with knowledge after which there is no ignorance. And you will be given a security after which there will be no fear. And you will be made to prosper so as to be not unlucky. And you will be honored so as not to be dishonored. And you will be made near to Allah Azza wa Jal so as not to be kept away. And you will be exalted so as not to be lowered. And you will be honored so as not to be abused. And you will be purified so as not to be polluted. Then the fulfillment of all hopes and the flattering remarks of people will assume reality in your case. You will then become the philosopher's stone, so much so that you will allude to being recognized in your elevated position. And you will be so exalted that you will have no like for yourself. Unique so that you will have no peer, no equal. You will become unique and peerless and hidden and most secret. And you will then become the successor of every messenger and prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla and every man of truth, the Siddiq. And you will become a finishing point of the Walayat and the Walis. And the living saints will flock to you. And through you will difficulties be solved. And through your prayers will clouds rain, and through your prayers will fields yield harvest, and through your prayers will be removed calamities and troubles of the rank and file of the people in the country, even of those living in the frontier, of the rulers and the subjects and the leaders, and all of creation. For you will be the officer of the cities and the people. The people will traverse distances to hasten towards you, and you will bring gifts and offerings and render your service to them. You will help them. You will condition their life by the permission of the Creator of all things. The tongues of the people at the same time were busy everywhere with applause and praise for you, and no two persons of faith will differ with regards to you. Oh, the best of those who lived in populated areas and those who traveled about. This is the grace of Allah Almighty, and Allah Almighty is the possessor of mighty grace. And that is truly amazing. Basically, what we discussed was what Sayyidi Hossein Azam radiallahu ta'ala is saying there, that the one who kills his desires, kills his nafs, and focuses just on the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, he rises to such a point. The Hadith of Mubarakah we discussed the other day, where Allah Azza wa Jal becomes his eyes, his ears, his hands, and then he, Allah Azza wa Jal, through him, fulfills the needs of the creation. And this is why we say, Ya Ghus al-Madad, and the beautiful Manqabat that Hafiz Sahib read. Because these walis of Allah Azza wa Jal are then given so much power by Allah Azza wa Jal. And these are the ones who are the inheritors of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the ones who propagate the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the ones who keep us, because especially those from the Indian subcontinent, you know, South Asia, we are grateful to these walis of Allah Azza wa Jal for our greatest treasure, the treasure of Iman.
Subhanallah, mashallah, Azawajal. Very beautifully read out, Harambay. Subhanallah, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. One of the books I was reading, and he mentions that every time when I was in my riyazat, in my ibadat, I could see doors opening for me. I would enter through that door, and then another door would come, and then I would go through that door. You know, so these were the ranks that he was climbing and climbing. And subhanAllah, Azawajal, Amir al-Sunnah the other day mentioned as well that, you know, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullah alayhi has been given the rutbah of Ghawsiyyat until Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Mahdi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu when he arrives. And you can, mashallah, Azawajal, you can see that, sometimes people think that, how did he achieve that status? And we've been talking about it for days, that his ibadat, his riyazat, it was so much that he totally, distanced himself from the world and from every person.
No, generally, in our public, we talk about the karamat and the great qualities of Hazrat Ghawse Pak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We celebrate and remember him to Garvi Sharif. So we have that concept. It's a beautiful feeling. It's still running for nearly 1,000 years now.
Alhamdulillah.
And the one thing that we miss out is his legacy, his practice, his way of fighting against the nafs and shaitan. And there are things that we don't normally talk about in our families, within our friend circles, and we don't take lessons from them. Even if we talk about them, you know why we talk about them? To say, Subhanallah, wow, kya baat hai, that was beautiful. That's amazing. That's Ghawse Pak status. Now we look at that as well. Now there's a saying that if your teacher, for example, if your teacher is the best in the whole country, it's not that you should just be feeling proud of this, that your teacher is the best in the country, but you need to be the best student of the country as well then.
MashaAllah.
Likewise, Abu Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Sultan of Awliya. Now we have this huge connection. Now we cannot, thank Allah Ta'ala for the blessing that we have. Now we've been blessed with this. It's a favor of Allah Ta'ala, and something that we, we are proud of, not just in this world, but in the hereafter as well.
Mashallah.
Now we have this yearning, this wish that, Ya Allah, until the last moments of our life, may this connection remain, even if we benefit from this connection in our grave and on the Day of Judgment as well. May we rise, in the company of Huzur Ghawse Pak. This is something we wish, but we don't focus on the amal side. That's something that we really have to take a lesson today.
Yeah. I was just going to come back with something very beautiful that, Tawfiqbhai was saying. The life of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu anhu is truly amazing and magnificent. And, every breath that he breathed was within the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was born a wali. But there was a scholar who said something very beautiful, Hafsab. He said that if all the life of all the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, these great amazing people of Allah Azza wa Jal were to be brought together, they could not compare to a hundredth or a millionth of the breath, one breath of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I thought that was so amazing. And it just brings me back to the share of Allah Hazrat, where he says, Khalq say awliya. From us, yeah, these walis of Allah are a billion times better than us. We're nothing. Khalq say awliya. Awliya say Rasul. Or Rasulun say Allah. Hamara Nabi.
MashaAllah. Ab sab tarzi bhi agar ho jaye, ye share kya baat hai.
Sab se awla.
That brings us to the end of the program today. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala
Muhammad.
The reviver of deen. The reviver of deen. The reviver of deen. The reviver.